the answer spoken by young and old, rich and poor, Democrat and Republican, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, gay, straight, disabled and not disabled, Americans who sent a message to the world that we have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
Hello, this is Andrew Tannenbaum calling from New York. It seems almost contradictory to be talking about or emphasizing the color issue when you talk about a person that is so dynamic and has so much ability.
That was, of course, President-elect Barack Obama speaking last night as he claimed victory over John McCain in the presidential election, and also a voter from New York. And I'm going to turn now, because in the studio is Dr. Jane Smith, the director of the Leadership Center at Spelman College and former president of the National Women's Council of Negro Women, to ask you, is it contradictory to talk about race when you're talking about a man with so much dynamic, as Andy described him?
It is not a contradiction, but, race is a part of who we are, is a part of our circumstances. The greatness of Barack Obama is that his life includes many experiences, which happens to include two races. It is an amazing and unbelievable day.
And as we've been asking everyone, because we can't seem to come up with a better question than this, but what happened last night?
What happened last night? Unbelievable. It was a moment of celebration and victory for movements, not just a movement, for change, for the presence of a new day for all the young people of this world, not just in the United States of America. It was a moment of gratitude. We could not celebrate Barack Obama without also saying thank you to the millions of people who came before us. And then it was a revival. I mean, where do we go from here? Everybody had to take a deep breath and say, our work has just begun, and what is it that we need to do? It was a revival.
And since your world involves leadership.
Yes.
Essentially, there was a sober element to what he spoke about last night,
amazing,
saying that everyone has now got to get to the work of dealing with some of the issues confronting the country. What lessons of leadership do we take from his campaign and from his speech last night?
When and where you enter. The first thing is he had been a rallying man of a movement. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. In a different way than what we saw last night. Last night, a world dignitary, a president of the United States of America, entered the stage. And with the same message, his immediate tone was one of a president. He had won a race, and he wanted a serious tone that laid to rest the differences that we would have among us and set the discussion for going forward. I've never seen leadership make that kind of shift so quickly before. The second thing that he does was he said, we have a difficult road. It's not going to be easy. And he made a game plan to let people say, okay, you know, this new thing has started, and this is the direction that we want to take. And he called on all of us as citizens of the United States of America, even those who did not believe in him, I am here for you.
David Wall Rice, the psychology professor at Morehouse here, we spoke to him a while ago, and I asked him, did you have any students, doctor, who came to you and said, I told you so last night, or who you think will be telling you, I told you so? Were they ahead of the curve on this, the young people?
In my experience, which is Spelman College, we were all together. So the answer to that is that from our board of trustees through our president to the faculty and the student body, no, we've been there. We knew that the moment was possible. And that begs a question that I heard this moment about whether or not we have met the promised land. Some of us feel that we have come to the promised land, that the promised land is not all easy, that it's rough. And we don't want to miss that for our students. We want our students to know that, like ceilings have been cracked, that the promised land's door has been opened and that people can walk through.
And so, meaning it's not enough that he got elected. That's one part of the door
opening. Absolutely.
And then now
and then
what?
We go through, and that's when the work begins. And so as we work on and prepare leadership with our young people, we have to make sure that they understand that they're through the door and that the preparation for leadership is making sure that that's all equitable access for all of us.
John?
How does, Jane, thanks so much for being with us, Dr. Smith. How does Barack Obama begin to assemble the governing tools? We know that he has the rhetorical tools, and he certainly has created the right sort of inspirational matrix to begin an administration. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. what are the tools he's going to need, and where is he going to find them?
Right. If the media is correct, what we're hearing this morning on radio and television and also on the internet is that that process started for Barack Obama many months ago, like the speech last night was written, and that, in fact, he has been thinking about the men and the women that he's going to put in place immediately. So we should hear an announcement of chief of staff today. So I think he's one step ahead in knowing that part of his victory has to be that he has to announce some names and some strategies almost immediately. And so we applaud him for that beginning, that strong beginning.
Listen to you, Dr. Smith. How dialed in are you to this thing?
You know, I'm live and well. I'm the beginning of the baby boomers. We're in shock. We didn't know it was coming this quick. We're in total shock. We just didn't know it. And it's like in our lifetimes, a gift was given to us. You know, I mean, it happened. One of the things happened. I shouldn't say all the things. It happened. It happened. It absolutely happened. And so we can't sleep, you know.
But what do you think, what is the greatest impact?
The greatest impact.
Of his being elected.
Okay. The greatest impact is that the playing field is brand new. The young people, and I mean everybody who's 42 and younger, 40 and younger, the president-elect's age and younger, they have a world we've never seen before. Every boy and every girl has the opportunity now to be president of the United States, a world leader, representing not just people of his or her race, but all people. We've never had that before in the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Smith, going back then to your point about the naming of people around him, is he going to deliver on that message by naming a lot of new faces into his administration, or would you expect a lot of very experienced people, the people we've seen before? How do you think that's going to work?
I think he's going to be smart enough to place experienced people around him. Now, I think that some of those experienced people are going to be new names and new faces that we have not known or heard about because the system did not allow us to know those yellow or brown or red or white faces in a way that he will present them. But I think he knows that the issues of the day are so complex that he has to bring with him that kind of experience. So we will see newness, but it'll be newness because of the isms that kept us from knowing these people before. He'll be bringing the experience as well and names that we already know.
And what do you think when you take a look at the fact that 46% of those who voted didn't vote for him? So on top of dealing with mm-hmm. economic turmoil, on top of dealing with mm-hmm. two wars, on top of dealing with a healthcare mm-hmm. system that badly mm-hmm. needs to be mm-hmm. reinvented, mm-hmm. how does he deal with that?
And that 46% includes a percentage of people who are scared to death. I mean, a woman was on the radio this morning saying that 9/11 is back. Whoa. And so not only does he have to deal with the 46% who did not want him to be president of the United States, but fear is paralyzing. Fear is just a very difficult thing to work with, and it can harm people. And so he's got to also work on eliminating fear while he brings that 46% along with his agenda.
And how do you start?
You start
when you're dealing with something as controversial as an emotional as race.
And I think that he is bringing us all to speak to a fine country that we want to believe in, that our leaders before. He speaks to America first. He speaks to the United States first. He cried it out last night. He said, started out by saying, if there are any people who ever doubted that this country, he's taking us all. And so last night, in places where we used to only sing, lift every voice and sing, you know that we're also singing God Bless America. And I think that that is what will come around this country, that we will see people rise.
I just want to get up and run out the door. Dr. Jane Smith, director of the Leadership Center at Spelman College and a former president of the National Women's Council of Negro Women, and she's a very excited
woman. I'm so thrilled.
Woman this morning.
Well, it's also worth remembering that, you know, people hug their fears often, even though they think that their fears, you know, make them uncomfortable. A lot of people hug their fears, and it's going to take them a while to relinquish it. So Dr. Mm-hmm. Smith makes a great point. I think the fear maybe isn't something that's driving people. It's the inability to change, and maybe Barack Obama is the agent to take that first step.
Yes, thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.